धन्यवाद अभिषेक. थैंक यू अभिषेक. एंड डियर लिसनर्स, साई राम फ्रॉम प्रशांतनिलयम, द मोस्ट हैपनिंग प्लेस ऑन द प्लैनेट. एंड इट इज द मोस्ट हैपनिंग प्लेस बिकॉज every day in this divine hamlet unfolds beautiful sagas of divine love, and today of course has been really packed with such uplifting moments. It's October 18th, 1 + 8 = 9, such an auspicious day. And when the Veda Purusha Saptah Gyana Yajna commenced this morning in the Purnachandra auditorium, when the priests rubbed the sacred strands of wood to invoke the god of fire to begin this annual Vedic sacrifice, the whole ambience reverberating with the sacred chants of these holy hymns, and on the center of the stage stood that exquisite Dasavatara form of the Lord, the cosmic consciousness with his varied forms. And when one saw the majestic silver chair on the right hand side of the dais, one could not help but reminisce the days when the cosmic consciousness encapsulated in that beautiful diminutive and delightful form of Sri Satya Sai physically presided over such celebrations in the past. And before we proceed further in this program, let us first offer our loving and heartfelt gratitude to Bhagwan for granting us the opportunity of witnessing and participating in our own way in such a sublime celebration as this. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we may develop the intellect to understand the nuances of these potent practices gifted by you to us through the ancient seers and sages, and the mental strength and willpower to translate into action the essence of these powerful facets of our ancient culture. Invoking his blessings, dear listeners, we move on. You are listening to the live Thursday broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai, and I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, happily at your service. And today on this episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside, our segment on Thursday nights, we have the light and the delight of Dasara. We are going to have three former students of Bhagwan's university, two of them in fact very senior, who are going to go down the memory lane and throw light on the beautiful aspects, interesting anecdotes, revealing tales, delightful interactions and startling declarations and potent messages, all concerning this sacred celebration, this holy festival of Dasara, which is celebrated with different hue and color almost all over India and beyond. In fact, when Dasara arrives and I see the resplendent yajnam in the Purnachandra auditorium, my mind always goes back to what Baba had declared as one of the primary tasks of his advent. He said he has come for Veda Samrakshana, Vidvat Poshana, Bhakta Samrakshana. That is the restoration of the timeless values of the ancient culture, all of which have been dutifully documented and powerfully preserved in the Vedas. Second, providing sustenance to such of those who are engaged in the regular study and steady dissemination of these potent Vedic principles and practices that can actually put mankind on the royal road to perennial peace and grant him the much needed solace so much sought after in the modern times. And finally, Bhakta Samrakshana, protection of those who have surrendered at least in some measure their time and energy, their interests and aspirations, their desires and anxieties, their goals and missions, their restless minds and troubled hearts, their youth and vigor, their resources and results, to God and to the Godward path. Baba said, ensuring the safety, the joy and the happiness of these people is his third most important mission. Whenever the flames go up in the air in the Purnachandra auditorium, purifying the air and the ambience, and at the same time sanctifying our thoughts and inner feelings, my mind always goes back to this declaration of Bhagwan. And in fact, as days pass by and we hear, read and witness the constant chaos that we see mankind enmeshed in right now, in so many spheres of human development, one gets more and more convinced that it is these invaluable virtues enshrined in the Vedas which can rescue the modern man. Once we reconnect with our roots and know how to strengthen them, the roots strengthen the roots, then the shoots and the branches, the flowers and the fruits will automatically be taken care of. They will ceaselessly and effortlessly and beautifully blossom. So personally for me, it was such an elevating experience sitting in the Purnachandra auditorium today as the Veda Purusha Saptah Jnana Yajna began. And I know many of you too might have felt the same wherever you are watching the live proceedings of this program on our website radiosai.org. We also brought you live the proceedings of the evening session, the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha, where we had today inspiring talks by Professor Anant Raman, Mr. Ruchiri Desai and a Telugu scholar, Nori Narayan Murthy. The highlight really, according to me, was Bhagwan's discourse. Even though it was short, it was powerful. Bhagwan reminding us how we should never ever underestimate the power of the mantras. In case you missed it, dear listeners, we will make it available for you to view all these videos again very shortly. And this live video service is going to continue every day on our website. So do soak yourself with the sacred vibrations of this divinely surreal celebration. And now the plan for the next 60 minutes or so is to dive into the glorious history and sublimating grandeur of this celebration that Prashanti Nilayam has witnessed for more than half a century. And we will do this through the narrations and experiences of three special guests, three alumni of Bhagwan's University. Mr. Veda Narayan, such a familiar face in Prashanti Nilayam, who leads the Veda chants every day at the Lord's Sanctum Sanctorum. Dr. Shivakumar, again, who has taught Vedic mantras to scores of students in our schools and colleges in Prashanti Nilayam, and who takes the mic for evening Veda chanting in Mandir whenever he is in Prashanti Nilayam, as he is currently a faculty member in the Vrindavan campus of Bhagwan's University. And the third guest in this panel is Dr. Shashank Shah, an outstanding student of Bhagwan's University, having won gold medals an MBA and MPhil, and now busy teaching in the Department of Management Studies. He's a postdoctoral fellow in this Department of Management Studies. He also enjoys living with the boys in the Sri Satya Sai Hostel. Welcome to you all to this program, sirs.
Thank you, Bishu.
And now, before we go on to the Dasara, how it was celebrated in the yesteryears, I mean, that is something we would definitely like to talk about, because not many are aware of it, but I think there are precious pearls of how it used to happen in the earlier times. And I think it would be nice to go down the memory lane and share with our listeners the divine, mysterious and manifold ways of Bhagwan's celebrating this festival in the 40s, 50s, 60s. But before that, let me ask you this, Vednan sir, how was it sitting in Purnachandra auditorium this morning?
Sir, well, it brought a lot of mixed feelings in me, because I think after joining Swami's college, this is the 36th Dasara I am attending.
Wow, 36th Dasara.
And from those days and from those years, I was just comparing one of those days with the today morning procedure. No, with such enthusiasm we used to get up. And especially these Dasara days, you know, with lot of anticipation used to be there, especially for Vedam boys. Because this is something specially for Vedam boys. The Dasara celebration itself,
yes,
it is totally dedicated for Vedic learning and Vedam
the
boys.
The ways the boys from the Vedam group participate in this function is something which the Bhajan group gets every day.
Yes. So in fact, from those days, I remember that these are the days I used to get up 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my God.
With a lot of anticipation. But I did the same thing today also.
Wow.
But, you know, however much, we still miss that physical presence of Bhagavan.
Yes.
And I remember early morning going and sitting inside the prayer hall waiting for the Lord. And the pandits used to come chanting the Krama style of Veda. All mm-hmm. the time, whenever they used to come to Swami, they used to chant that particular style, Krama way of chanting Veda. And they used to circumambulate the whole mandir. And they used to come and sit. And Lord used to wait for them. And the moment they used to come, Swami personally used to distribute this orange dhoti and the white angavastram. These are called Diksha Vastras. So Swami used to distribute personally all to each and every one of them. So, and Swami used to wait till they complete their sankalpa. And they used to go and change and come. Then the procession beautifully used to start. So today morning I was recollecting all those beautiful moments. So I was just looking around when the procession started.
So
and those days, the Nadaswaram used to be there. Sai Geeta used to lead the procession.
Yes.
And how many students. And there will not be any inch of place left in Prashantanilayam. Dasara
yes.
is such a major function that all the entire pathway, in fact, there is no cycle on the hall those days.
Yes.
It used to be the half the way we have to take a left turn to go directly to the Purnachandra auditorium. And on both sides, people used to, there would not be an inch of place left.
Prashanti was overflowing.
Overflowing everywhere.
Wonderful.
So I was missing all those things, then went on to the stage. And Swami used to majestically come onto the stage. He used to come in the procession. And he used to come onto the stage. And how beautifully he used to move from one end of the stage to the other end of the stage. And those were the days Swami used to chew paan leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And the beautiful smile on his red lips.
Resplendent.
And he used to glide. And our heart, it used to throb every second when he used to pass in front of us.
Mm.
And so I was missing all those days.
So it was happy and sad and nostalgic.
You are right.
And Shivakumar sir, how was it for you?
Yeah. Even though as Vedanarayan sir told, we did miss the physical form of Swami, one thing which I was constantly reminded of was that every single offering that was being done into the yajnam was finally reaching Swami. In fact, this was one of the very beautiful analogies that Swami gave in the very first yajnam in 1961 during his discourse. In fact, Swami told in that time that many critics, without understanding the significance of yajnam, keep telling that people pour ghee and all other offerings into the yajnam and keep telling that it's all going waste. But they don't understand inner significance that all this is being done with a great purpose, that all of them ultimately reach the Yajna Purusha. And Swami gave this very beautiful analogy. Swami gave the example which we all understand at the commonplace, the example of a money order.
Mm-hmm.
Swami told that if you want to send money to some person in your own village, you just go and give the money in a post office, you write the address, you give the details, and the money reaches the person in his place. You don't bother how the money goes in between to reach that person.
Yes.
It's the same way. Each of these mantras that is being chanted is like an address to mm-hmm. a particular devata. It's an address to the Yajna Purusha. You chant that swaha and you put the offering into the yajnam, it will surely reach that particular devata, it will reach the Yajna Purusha. You don't require to know how it will reach. Just the way you don't inquire how does the money reach to that person. You are only happy that the money has reached the other person.
Yes. So the fire is the carrier.
Fire is the carrier. So it was just that even though Swami's physical presence was not there, at least all of us, we did have that feeling that every single offering that was being made was ultimately reaching Swami, and we were all being blessed profusely by Bhagavan.
Wow. And that's really so beautiful, because when the yajna started, right in the early days, in the 60s itself, Bhagwan has made very clear the inner significance of this festival. And we also know how Bhagwan always says that when youngsters complain, it's total waste offering all this ghee. And then Bhagwan goes on to share that it is something like agriculture. Shashank, you were talking about it.
Yeah, I was just recollecting that when Shikumar sir was mentioning. Swami said that criticizing the fact that ghee being offered in the fire is a waste is like criticizing the fact that a farmer is sowing seeds in his fertile land. Because when he sows the seeds through the furrow into the fertile land, he is going to get manifold crop. Similarly, when you chant these mantras and put those offerings into the Yajna Kundam, you are actually going to benefit many, many fold more. But then Swami made one thing very clear, like he said, even in the discourse today. Elsewhere, Yajnam is done with some tinge of selfishness. Even praying to nature for rain, for removing the drought and famine conditions, reducing the floods, or some people for removing some doshas of the Navagraha, etc., etc. Swami said at Prashanti Nilayam, Yajnam is done with a single objective, and that objective is Loka Kalyana, welfare of all. So by offering these samidhas into the Yajna Kundam, you are praying for the welfare of all mankind. And as Swami said in the discourse today, that is the real Shashwata Saukhyam, the real true happiness which this Yajna aims to get. And to add a little humor to that, Swami said in that discourse which Shikumar sir was mentioning, that people are criticizing that so much of ghee is apparently wasted during the Yajnam. Swami said in their own lifetimes, how much of ghee have they personally consumed and what benefit have they done to the society by consuming that much of ghee? This Yajnam will confer million-fold more benefit to the society.
Yes. Yes, just because we cannot see it apparently, we cannot discount. We just do not know the science of it. Just like a tribal who doesn't know the science of how TV signals come from Delhi. And if he sees a TV here, he will think that this is a rare miracle. I think it's the same here. We do not know the science of it. And Bhagwan is telling there is a beautiful science to it, and we better accept that.
In fact, in one of the discourses also Swami did mention, when the yajnam is done with total selflessness and total purity, it will surely get reflected, and there is a natural sign for that. And that is, it will rain.
Yes.
It will rain. And today evening, there was a rain.
There was a drizzle. In fact, this is a phenomenon that we saw in Prashanti all the time, isn't it? Every Dasara.
Yeah, not only that, I remember during the Sahasra Purna Chandra Darshanam, it was a 3-day program. After the first day's program was over, the next day morning, it rained so heavily for 3 to 4 hours, the proceedings of the Yajnam itself were disrupted because the entire Hillview Stadium
was
drenched.
Yes, that morning. Drenched
in the rainwater.
And I think Swami also did mention the inner significance of these yajnas. Swami said, especially to have positive thoughts, we need to have, mainly the thoughts come from the food what we consume. So Swami beautifully related that whenever we offer into the offering with mantras into the sacred fire, the smoke which arises out of this, it forms the clouds, and these clouds, it brings a wonderful rain, and this water is so sacred that the plants absorb this water and they produce the grain. And when we consume this grain, we get beautiful thoughts. So this is another way.
It's a cosmic cycle, actually.
Cosmic cycle.
The nature cycle.
Swami was there to
mention. Everything gets purified.
Purified.
And now actually you see, thanks to modern technology and the pesticides and all that, everything gets totally polluted.
Correct.
In fact, the whole process of yajnam is very, very scientific. Apart from being very spiritual, intensely spiritual, it is highly scientific. As sir told, it actually enriches the entire cosmic cycle.
Wow. I think we will need a separate discussion only on that. So let's now proceed to something else. Shashank, you are someone who has read a lot about Bhagwan's literature by the virtue of working in the publication department of the hostel you have initiated and completed many projects concerning Sai literature. So can you please share with us from what you have read how Dasara used to be celebrated in the very early years, in the bygone era, in the 40s, in the 50s?
Sure, Bishu. From what I've read, the earliest account of the Navaratri celebrations is in the period of 1945-46.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the time when the Path Mandiram was just constructed in 1945.
Yes, the old mandir.
The old mandir. So that was the time when Dasara celebrations started in a structured way, if I can use that word. And what used to happen was that devotees used to come from different parts of the country, more so from South India, Bangalore, Chennai, and nearby towns, Kuppam, Vijayawada, and other areas. And lots of them used to come with their families. And the program used to be something like this, from what I have read. And the authors have described it quite vividly. In the morning, they used to have the opportunity of sleeping outside the Path Mandiram. So it was like Swami used to get up when they used to sing Suprabhatam. And thereafter, Swami used to go and get ready and come back. And then they used to sing and welcome Swami into the puja room,
mm-hmm.
where they used to do the morning Kumkuma Abhishekam. So the procedure was like this. All the ladies used to sit in orderly lines. And then each of them used to be given a small vessel and a small photograph of Swami. And they would be sitting in the lines. And then they would start. And there was something called a bell. And just like we have bells in our hostel, when the third bell was given, the Omkaram would start.
Mm.
And after three Omkarams, they would have Lalita Ashtotara Namasmaranam. So 108 names of the Mother Goddess. And as we do even now, then they used to offer that kumkum to the photograph of Swami in their vessel. And with the completion of the 108 names, the kumkum archana would be over. And all this while, Swami would be sitting on a chair right in front of them,
mm-hmm.
Smiling and enjoying and accepting all their offerings
wow.
in the form of those 108 names of the Mother Goddess. And after this was over, bhajans used to start on the Devi. And Swami used to get up from his chair, come, and then go to each of those ladies who have done the kumkumarchana and give them padnamaskar.
Wow.
And while this padnamaskar blessing opportunity was going on, bhajans used to be so fervently and joyously sung by all of them as a group. And it seems after that they had lunch together with Swami. And subsequent to that, there used to be an interactive session where Swami used to talk about the scriptures, Ramayana, Mahabharata, Bhagavatam, and narrate simple stories relating to the great heroes and heroines of the yesteryears, take up a humorous incident in the scripture and then elaborate it in great detail or give the inner significance of some story.
I guess very nascent stages of the Prashanti Vidhan Mahasabha, and that time Bhagwan was conducting all himself.
Yeah, and it was like a form, it was like a discourse which he would give in the later years. It was more of a conversation.
Conversation then.
And then in the evening, they used to have this palanquin procession.
Mm-hmm.
And the florists used to come specially from Bangalore. They were also devotees of Swami. And they would come with all the arrangements that were required for the floral decoration. And for each of those 9 days, they would have planned in advance, exquisite plans about what theme they would have. And it would be interesting to note that Swami also used to wear the dresses based on the theme of the palanquin.
Wow.
So the color combination of his robe and his dhoti would be, and he used to wear something like an angavastram on top of the robe, which they used to, I mean, in English they have translated as veil. I presume it's like an angavastram.
Yes.
And that used to be matching to the design of the dress. So Swami used to retire at 6 o'clock in the evening inside, and then these ladies used to wait, and then the doors would open at 8 o'clock in the evening.
8 o'clock in the evening.
After 2 hours of waiting, and Swami would come out. And as the authors describe, he used to be resplendent in the beautiful silk robes of various hues and colors. And first thing he would come outside and ask them, how is the robe? Is the color matching?
Wow.
What do you feel? Is it nice? So he was taking instant feedback from the devotees as if they were capable of giving him feedback about his choice of the color. And then it used to start. He used to sit onto the palanquin. Every day a different theme. A swan on one day, a peacock on another day, a Garuda on a third day, lotus on a fourth day.
And we have seen there are few pictures.
Yeah, some few black and white pictures are available.
Yes.
And each of Swami's dresses used to be matching to that. So when they had the peacock, Swami's dress was more of like Subramanya.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was in Garuda, he used to wear the white robe like Lord Vishnu and come.
Mm-hmm.
And then the dhoti would be matching to the robe. So if it's a white robe, a contrast to the robe. So if it's a white robe, it would be a red dhoti. And if it is lotus, then it would be matching. It would be a parrot green dhoti and some purple color
Swami,
robe. And it used
Swami
glorious.
Ensured everything. Yeah. He can do to the delight of the devotees.
Yeah, and it's unimaginable now even to visualize Swami in those colors.
But see, incidentally what had happened, Swami had called myself and some boys to clean upstairs. And we were
in the Prashanti Mandir.
So we were taking out all these robes and we found some green color. And at that time, see how Swami has, if I dare to say, how he has changed. Chichi, who will wear such robe? Green color robe.
See, I think for the joy of devotees, he has gone to any extent.
In fact, in the 1940s, we can imagine a much younger
Swami. Yes, when the partition was still still seen.
Yes. In fact, that's what it's written, that his partition used to be middle parting. And it used to be one huge crescent on one side and little lesser crescent on the other.
I think there is something like Sumangali Puja or something also is to be there, I think. Do you remember anything about it?
I think that was the thing in the morning. Is it the same thing?
Yeah, it seems Swami used to send elderly ladies to the houses with all this vermilion, all those things, you know, with mirror and in a plate and bangles and all. And Swami used to first invite them to come. Something, so many procedures, because again, when we were cleaning upstairs, we saw one full trunk full of all these bangles, and Swami used to say, you know, good old days, I used to send all these things to invite the Sumangalis.
Beautiful.
All those things were still lying in Swami's room.
Oh my God. Wonderful.
So then the evening, if I continue from...
Yes, sure, Shashan, go on.
The evening procession used to be starting at about 8 o'clock. And Swami would ascend into the palanquin and then they would take the procession through the Puttaparthi village. And it used to take something like 4 or 5 hours for them to take it slowly, because they would go slowly in front of each of the houses. They would stop the procession in front of specific houses like Shishramagaru's house, Venkamagaru's house, Paratamagaru's house,
Subhamma's
and Karnam Subhamma's house. These four houses, they used to stop the palanquin because they used to come out and then do aarti to Swami, and obviously they had a so-called rite because Swami was their brother, their son and their foster son. So it was their privilege to offer aarti to Swami. But by the time they would return, it would be something like 2 o'clock in the night. And after they come back, they wouldn't let Swami get down. Because what they used to do, they used to take that palanquin which was on their shoulders and start swaying it like it's a cradle.
At 2 o'clock in the night.
Yeah, so that they were like putting Swami to sleep.
Oh,
and
my
they used
God.
To sing the lullaby songs when they were swaying Swami in that palanquin, like a cradle, for almost half an hour or more. And
my
slowly
God.
They would wind up that and then let Swami retire for the day.
In fact, in villages, overnight programs are not really uncommon.
They uncommon in those days.
Even now,
Bhagavad Kathas used to go on overnight.
And some miracles there were, what I read was that when Swami was on the palanquin, they used to see Vibhuti getting materialized on Swami's forehead in three distinct lines. And from Swami's forehead, constantly the Vibhuti was falling and they could see that. And then that Vibhuti slowly got crystallized into three golden lines on his forehead in the horizontal direction. So that was one miracle which was seen very often by them. And the thing is, the writers mentioned that actually the procession, they should be forward looking. But they used to keep looking at Swami behind, who was sitting on the palanquin, bang with each other, because they didn't want to miss any glimpse.
Glimpse. You don't know what is going to happen.
Swami on the palanquin. Yes. And it seems in one day when Swami was in that Devi's dress for the palanquin, they saw that when they looked at Swami, the left half of Swami's face, if you see from the left half, they could see Swami as Mother Goddess herself. And then the authors describe that how they had seen a red zari brocade sari and an orange green matching blouse and all the flowers in the head and the heavy jewelry adorning the mother goddess. Very, very distinctly that resplendent face on the left hand side. And when you saw Swami from the right hand side, you could see him as Shiva with the matted locks, with the Ganges and the moon, crescent moon on his mat, on matted wow. locks, and then the snake as an ornament on his throat, and then the vibhuti marks on his shoulder, and the charmam as his dress. So they saw in one single occasion both Shiva and Shakti together. And it seems when they used to be agha seeing Swami like that, Swami used to blink his eyes and smile at them as if he's playing little mischief with them in terms of showing them the cosmic form and yet being one among them as their wow. own kinsmen. So they were like really, really glorious days. I mean, if we were not devotees, we would definitely think that it's a scene from some Puranic right. story, which is impossible to happen. But having been with Swami, we know nothing is impossible.
But another miracle that I remember is Swami used to throw flowers on devotees. And they used to not fall as flowers, they used to fall as toffees, used to fall as coins. In fact, my father used to have one such coin for
a
long period of time. He had a coin.
Fantastic.
In that coin, one side it would be Balaji, Venkateshwara, on another side it would be Shirdi Baba. Those types of coins used to be falling on people.
In fact, I recollect from this once in Africa also it happened, similar thing. When Swami was leaving, he blessed, they all wanted some gift from them. So what the prasadam was distributed in that packet itself, each of them found one pendant for themselves.
Yes.
And in that pendant, each of them had a different insignia. So
yes.
The Christians found a cross.
Yes.
And the Muslims found Allah written on
them. I've read about this.
And the Hindus have found their own Ishtadeva, who is their favorite chosen deity. So it's a very common miracle of Swami across continents.
Yes. Ishta, that what is towards liking. I have read this particular incident, I think, in one of the books. As a part of that puja in the mornings, that ladies used to do that
Kusumarchan. Yes.
This to happen for the entire Navaratri celebration. At the end, Swami used to distribute each one of them blouse pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember while reading it one particular day, it seems each lady would think mentally what color they should get. And it used to happen invariably. Well, it would be randomly Swami would distribute everybody. Invariably, everybody will get whatever color they actually wanted.
Wow.
So Swami would ensure that everybody got exactly what they wanted. So that was a part of the Dasara celebrations that used to happen in those times.
Wonderful. So many little things Dasara celebrations has been a witness to. I think there are a lot of details that many of us perhaps could not even see. And there is a lot that is not documented. But I think from whatever is documented itself, it's so fabulous. So this is something that happened in the 40s and 50s. Let's now move on to the 60s. I think that is the time when the yagyam in the formal way as it is now started in the early 60s. Is that right, Vedant sir?
Yes. I think especially Swami started connecting this Vidwan Mahasabha and the Dasara formal celebration. I think it mainly formed from 61, 62 onwards.
Yes.
In fact, Swami was in Venkatagiri. And whenever Swami used to visit Venkatagiri, the king of Venkatagiri, he used to invite lot of scholars.
Mm-hmm.
And regularly they used to have this kind of congregations. And each one of them will speak on various spiritual topics. I think then Swami felt that I think some kind of similar congregation should be there in Prashantinagar. So I think it way back in 61-62 this Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yakyam for the first time it was organized in Prashantinilayam. And there is some very interesting incident which happened during that period of time. Kuppa Bhairagi Shastri, one of the great scholars, he is a great astrologer at par, and in fact every year's almanac he was the person who used to make those years.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami had given him in charge, and he called him and told everything should be planned meticulously as said in the Vedas. All the materials, whatever is required for the yajna, you should procure it. You give the list of it. Don't miss anything. Make sure that everything is there. Because even if you want something else at the last moment, it is not available here. Because those days, in 60s,
I know.
I still remember, I came to Swami in only in 1968. There hardly used to be anything. No East Prashanti, nothing. If you sit in front of the mandir here, you could directly see the Chitravati River.
Oh my God.
Every day morning, we used to sit...
You could see the Chitravati
River.
Sitting in mandir.
In the mandir. Because nothing was there.
Oh my
God. It was only thorny bushes here and there. Nothing more than that. So, that was
how Puttaparthi was
those days.
Yes.
So, no shops, only in that corner shop, there used to be one shop, tea shop used to be there, nothing more than that. So, Swami had specifically told him, make a detailed list of everything, so that I will procure it. And he had made the entire list and given to Swami. And everything was brought, and on that day, and there was a lot, after the procession was over, Swami saw to it that even the Agni fire was produced from the Arani, that wood,
yes,
which is even today morning they rubbed and produced the fire. It is called the Arani.
Yes.
From that fire was produced everything. Swami blessed everything and Swami came back to his room. Within 5-10 minutes, Kuppa Bhairagi Shastri was there to go to his room, and initially the moment Swami saw him, Swami was a little upset. Swami told him, why did you come now? I have come there, started everything. Why did you leave that and come now?
Mm-hmm.
He fell at Swami's feet and said, Swami, please forgive me. Swami asked, what? Swami, in the list what I gave you, I have forgotten one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Swami was visibly upset. Swami said, I have told you number of times, see that nothing is missing, because nothing can be procured anywhere in this region. Come on now, what is that? Then he said, Swami, in the Vedic text it has been said, there must be a small vessel, a copper vessel, something like what the sages use, no? Something like kamandalu, what mm-hmm. it is called. A small kalasham like thing with a handle, and it also should have a snout.
Yes.
So this particular thing, somehow I have missed in the list. Please forgive me, Lord. Without that, we cannot proceed further. Swami was really upset and said, how can you make this mistake? Then what to do now? Swami was asking him, what mm-hmm. to do now? Without that, can't you go ahead? He said, Swami, initially my idea was not to inform you, because you have told that everything should be there. Please forgive me, Swami, for this. Swami just thought for a while. Swami was in his upstairs room. He got up from his chair. He went inside the bedroom. Within few seconds, Swami came out with a vessel having a handle and a snout.
Oh my God.
And Swami asked, is this the one are you looking for? And he had no words. Because that is the exact description of the vessel, what has been described in the Vedas. Then Swami told, you know, this is the vessel what I used to use in Shirdi.
He himself used to use in Shirdi.
Use in Shirdi. So I had to get it from Shirdi to give it to you for this particular function.
Swami had told it was with the Raja of Chincholi.
Chincholi. Mm-hmm. So, I had to get it from there in order to give it to you.
Oh my God.
So, look at this. This shows Swami is omniscient, is omnipotent, and
he is the Yajna Purusha. He is the one to whom all the worship goes, but he is the one who is also organizing every single bit of the celebration.
Just to add a bit, that particular vessel, if I am right, is used specifically in one particular place where the water in that vessel is used to sprinkle all across the yajna, that homa kundam, chanting these mantras specifically: Adite Anumanyasva Anumate Anumanyasva Saraswate Anumanyasva Deva Savitaha Prasuva. It means we are actually taking the permission from the Yajna Purusha to commence the Yajna.
Wow.
So it is this particular kundam, this particular vessel is used specifically to sprinkle the water in a very, very efficient manner.
Oh.
In fact, this morning they were doing that particular
rite.
So I was at that moment, I was remembering that particular incident actually.
Fantastic. So this was in the 60s, and Vedant sir, you were saying that you came to Bhagwan in 1968, so you must have witnessed, in fact you mentioned that this is the 35th Dasara celebrations that you have been fortunate to witness and participate. So how was it in the 70s?
Amazing days. Because I think Dasara and birthday is supposed to be one of the, look forward. Those celebrations were, especially Dasara 10 days, it was uncomparable. Early morning hours, on the first day, this procession used to gather, and I know Sai Gita used to take the lead,
yes.
And Swami used to come out, and he used to wear a long garland. And of course, there used to be an umbrella. And you know, in proceeding to that, like whenever a royal person walks, how they used to hold.
Yes.
That, something like a...
the royal insignia.
Insignia.
Yeah.
Like the two people used to carry, and another person used to carry the fan, what is called chamara, it is called.
Yes.
So on the both sides. And
it was a king.
Yes.
In a position.
And not only that, those were the days, even the ladies like Peddapattu and others,
yes.
The entire area from Swami's interview room onwards till Purnachandra auditorium, they used to beautifully decorate the entire ground pathway. In fact, they used to make a carpet of flowers for Swami to walk. And how they used to work, it is from early morning hours they would have made this. And Swami used to royally walk through that. And once he comes to the Purnachandra auditorium, no, he used to spend hours together there. And morning hours, in fact, he used to come and sit on those steps on the floor. He used to step on in Purnachandra auditorium, you can directly climb onto the stage from the middle pathway itself.
There is no step in the middle itself.
Okay.
So Swami used to sit in the middle on the pathway itself. And many times Swami used to walk till the end in between devotees collecting letters. In all the three sides he used to go. That is Jain side, extreme,
yes,
and even the lady side extreme, and even the middle. And there, around 10 o'clock, 10:30, Swami is to go on the stage where the main kalasham is kept, where mantra pushpam will be chanted, and they will adorn Swami with a beautiful garland, and pandits used to stand on both sides, and they used to chant mantra pushpam. Oh God, I know that each and every god will be present during that time to see the glory of the Lord. And how Swami used to sway when they used to chant, and all the devotees, you know, they used to be overjoyed to watch that wonderful scene. Swami used to wait till they finish the whole procedures, then Swami used to go back. And during those days, entire day and night was filled with activities. The yajnam used to finish around 11:30, and by 1 o'clock everybody used to assemble back in Purnachandra auditorium, because there used to be Harikatha Kalakshepam in Telugu by the group from Vidyan Mahasabha. They used to have beautiful stories about Sri Rama Pattabhishekam and Sri Krishna Tulabharam, and so many beautiful stories in the form of songs and narration. It used to go on till 3 o'clock. Then again by 4:30 they used to have the Vidvan Mahasabha, when great scholars like Chandramouli Shastri, who had Swami had shown him the vision of Anjaneya, like so many other great scholars, and Kuppa Bhairagi Shastri. And they are all great Vedic scholars.
Gandikoti Subramanya
yes. Shastri. Who is, and
Kameshwar Ganapati.
Yes.
Ramadhan.
all of them how they used to praise Bhagavan, because as we always say, you know, a pot which is filled with water, you cannot hear any sound.
Yes.
Only the half vessels will make noise.
Yes.
Like people like us. The thing is, they used to see Swami and address him as Paramatma himself.
Hmm.
That was their faith, and even Swami used to continue, and whatever question they used to pose during their speech, Swami used to answer in his discourses.
Wow.
And every day they used to have, after the evening Swami's discourse, Swami's discourse used to get over around 6:30, like that. Then Swami used to go to Mandir and come back again by 8 o'clock. And every day there used to be cultural program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are days when cultural program has gone up to 12 o'clock midnight.
Oh my God.
It was indeed Navaratri. In the true sense of the
true sense.
Of night.
Yes, yes.
And Swami used to... So the whole days is to be filled like that.
Fantastic. In fact, today the discourse clip that we heard in Mandir, Bhagwan mentioned about the purity of these priests, and Swami said how that priest was performing that Lingarchana, Sahasra Lingarchana.
Sahasra Lingarchana.
Which used to go on till 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and he used to never move till he had completed that.
Just to mention about the Sahasra Lingarchana, I was just asking him, you know, every day he has to collect, there is a particular mud. He has to go to ant hill to collect this mud. And every day chanting, I think 21 times of Rudram, he has to make 1008 Shivalingas.
Mm-hmm.
And for each of them, he has to put one grain of rice. It has to be arranged in a particular fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Sri Chakram for the Devi, here in a Shivalingam. And it has got more of a, in a Sri Chakram fashion only. It has to be arranged. And for each of this Lingam, he has to do Abhishekam.
Oh my God.
And the Shodashopachara Puja also.
All the Shodashopachara Puja, yeah, for each of this Lingam. So he starts around morning 2 o'clock and finishes afternoon around 2 o'clock.
Oh,
till
my
then,
God.
He doesn't even take a sip of water.
No wonder Swami was so much in praise of these, purity of these priests.
Oh, it is such dedication, I'll tell you. In fact, the previous person who was doing the Sahasra Lingarchana, he has been, to see him himself, he was so emancipated. But the energy which he used to have, I'm sure that Lord Shiva himself would have appeared before him and granted him liberation. This is called tapas.
Yes.
This is real penance, I'll tell you. They live out everything, total dedication. No amount of money in this world can bring any of this type of thing.
And every day Swami used to go and inspect and see, appreciate that person doing. Every day during the Dasara time, to that he used to do in one corner of the Poonachandra.
Yes.
Swami used to appreciate and go and wait and see, watch every time what he was doing.
Yes.
That was the amount of concern that Swami was also showing on the each and every aspect. In fact, so many things that go on the stage.
Yes. Yeah, that's what. I think not everyone is aware of what are the different things that happen on the stage. You just only know that there is the main Yajna Kundam and Yajna is happening there. But you know that there are groups of people in every corner, yes, of the stage. Maybe you can share a little bit about what really happens on different sections of the Poonachandra Auditorium stage.
In fact, Bishu, on the right hand side, most towards the lady side, the first thing is the Sahasra Lingarchana, which goes on. Next to that is the main Devi Kalasham.
Mm-hmm.
That represent, the Kalasham represent goddess.
Mm-hmm.
And Lalita Sahasranamam, Trishyati, then Lalita Ashtotra Shatanamavali, Ghadgamala, all these things they will be doing Kunkumarchanas.
Mm-hmm.
There nothing but Kunkumarchana goes on for Devi with all the Shodashopachara Puja. And next to that is Devi Mahatmya Parayanam by the priest himself. Then when you come towards the middle stage,
were on the right hand side, there is a group of people, 4 to 5 people sitting and chanting. They are expected to finish the entire Krishna Yajurveda in this 7 days. Just once chanting, okay? And sometimes they will not be able to finish. So they will be sitting in the afternoons and sometimes even in the evening, because before the 7th day, they are supposed to finish the chanting of
Krishna
just once, chanting the entire.
If you hear them, they are chanting quite fast.
They are chanting quite fast. So you can see the vastness.
And this is only a very small percentage of what is actually big to us. I mean, we have lost a lot.
We have lost a lot. And not only that, they don't refer to any book. They just chant. Oh, that was amazing, Elder. Then in the middle, you have the Rudram, Rudra Homam. It goes on. They chant Namakam and Chamakam. Ekadasha Rudram, almost every day they do it. And next to that, towards the again towards the eastern side, you have one person going round. That is the Surya Namaskaram.
Yes.
I have seen, the usual Surya Namaskaram is the procedure where they chant the entire Arunam and they go around that whatever. They have the lamp and they put a separate Surya Narayana Chakram they make actually. And around that they will be doing Pradakshinam and doing Namaskar.
This morning he was drawing that Surya Narayana Chakram.
In fact, these people had the great good fortune of, whenever Swami used to come onto the stage and while doing Pradakshinam, they used to directly fall at Swami's feet. And do all the, because this Namaskaram has to be done in a particular way. And Swami is to wait till they is to finish. Imagine, Lord Sun himself has appeared before you and standing there in full glory. Oh God.
In fact, I remember those days when the priest was doing this Surya Namaskar, had this really unique privilege of circumambulating around the physical frame of Bhagwan.
He used to take that red lotus.
Yes.
Because Lord, especially for Lord Sun, they worship red lotus. He used to hand over it to Swami.
Directly.
Oh God. I wish I can, if at all I could get a chance like that. I used to pray for that. But there is another person, only for few years I have seen him. A very heavily built person. He used to do this Surya Namaskar. But this Surya Namaskar I have never seen anywhere. This man used to fold
one leg.
His right leg. And he used to stand on one leg, only on his left leg, raising both his hands above his head. And directly, he will never move from his place. He will directly used to fall on the floor and used to do the Namaskar. And used to get up like that.
This Namaskar was also done, sir, during the Sahasra Purna Chandra.
Sahasra Purna Chandra, I saw somebody doing that. Yes, you're right. But with this man who is heavily built, and with his body weight, and you know, till he completes all the Namaskar, he has to stand on one leg and raising both his, this is what is called real penance, I'll tell you.
I think they also do 108 Namaskars every day.
It is
130
per day. 130
plus.
Wow. So there's a lot of chanting that goes on.
And then on the side there is a Sundarakandam chanting.
They have Ramayana, they have Bhagavata, and they have Devi Bhagavata. So all these Parayanam also simultaneously will go on the stage. And now Swami has given the great good fortune of doing Devi Mahatmya Parayanam for our own hostel students.
Wow.
And I find that many boys are taking interest. Mind you, this is no ordinary thing, because these children, they come in empty stomach, even without having anything, the early morning. And especially for a newcomer, it takes 4 to 5 hours.
And mind you, today when I saw around 50 children, they were sitting on the stage and they were doing the Devi Mahatmya.
60, this time 60? There are 59.
Yeah, Sashank, you should tell us about what goes on in the hostel.
There are 59 students. I had got the opportunity of coordinating. In fact, Vednarayan sir himself had initiated us. That time I was in second MBA to do the Devi Mahatmya Parayanam. And our former registrar, Lakshmi Narasimham sir, had taken Swami's permission in 2003 that Swami boys want to do something for Swami. So then Swami had given permission to do Devi Mahatmyam Parayanam. In 2003 it started. So now this is the 10th year. And steadily every year the number has been increasing. And this time we have about 59 students from all the men's campuses. That is Vrindavan, Prashantanilayam, Mudanhalli and higher secondary school. So even the 10th, 11th, 12th class students, the undergraduate students, the postgraduate students, the MBA and MTech students and even PhD students.
Wow.
And some of the teachers also.
I don't think it will be happening in any other university in the world.
You won't find anywhere MBA and MTech students getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning having bath and wearing dhoti angavastram and rushing to the Yajnashala for doing Devi Mahatmya.
Some of these students, they are so eager to, along with the Devi Mahatmya Paran, they also want to come for Gram Seva.
Wow.
So they want to finish it before morning 7:30. So they start very early in the morning, around 3 o'clock, so that they'll be able to come join. They'll finish that and they'll come and join the Gram Seva also. That is the amount of enthusiasm that they have.
And Devi Mahatmyam is also a very long scripture. As Vednarayan sir was saying, there are 700 verses. It is also called Durga Saptashati, Sapta 7 Shati 100. So it is 700 verses glorifying the mother goddess and all the various occasions where she destroyed and vanquished the demons in order to uphold righteousness and different forms, and kill demons like Rakta Bija and Dhumralochana, Chanda, Munda, and Shumbha, Nishumbha, and of course Mahishasura. So each of the chapters are dedicated to one demon, and there are some dedicated, not to the demon, dedicated to how the demon was destroyed. I stand corrected.
I think they are all very symbolic.
Yes, you're right.
Very
each
symbolic.
In fact, Vednarayan sir was telling us that each of the description of the fight is actually a code, a mantra in its own way, because the syllables have got their own unique potencies.
In fact, what is concealed here, see, these are all for a person who is reading in a vague way, you know, it is a question of, you know, just some fight going on, like a Mahabharata war. But each of these things, if you take the first letter, you know, you will find some Bijaksharas are there, and it will lead to a beautiful mantra.
I'm sure.
So these are all encapsulated.
Yes.
And as and when more and more you do, it will be more of a revelation it comes to you actually.
How did you get initiated into Devi Mahatmyam, Vednarayan sir?
It was way back in, I think it was 80s. We felt that, see, whenever these pandits used to come, that was the time when we were just learning Vedas. And we used to dream whether we could ever have a day when we could also wear that orange dhoti and sit on the stage.
You're doing it now.
Yeah. That those days, it was a dream.
Yes.
So, when so many people are doing, you know, we are so much interested, we also wanted to do something. So, myself and one of my friend, I called him and asked, why not we do something? He said, okay, we'll do what we should do. They said, we'll do Devi Mahatmya Parayanam. They said that is a very powerful one. I said, fine, we will do it. Now, how to do it? So, we started making inquiry. Somebody told, you cannot just do it like that. Unless somebody initiate you into this mantra, you cannot do it. I said, but I know that time Padmanabha Shastri used to do the Devi Mahatmya Parayanam there.
The Mandir Pujari.
Mandir Pujari. He was in charge of doing the Devi Mahatmya Parayanam. So we went to him and requested, we asked him the details how to do. He said, usually you are expected to do, read the whole book on a single day, all the 700 stanzas.
Oh, God.
It is quite a bit of
it. No, just to add to that, there is Purvangam and Uttarangam.
So and the Purvangam, it's a Navangam is there. Yeah. The nine, this thing, very huge. The Navangam itself will come to one and a half hours.
So it's more than 700, almost double of 700, 1400 verses are there in one
day. It is quite big. And he said, yeah, you can, but thing is, you should get initiated. Then I said, you have been doing this, why don't you initiate it? He said, no, 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 I cannot. I am not capable of initiating anyone. He said, please see our position. We really want to learn. Why don't you help us? He said, no. Then where else will we go? You go and ask Swami to initiate you. My God, that was the ultimate bombshell. To go to Swami and get initiated. But no, this, like a suggestion what he gave, we took it really seriously.
Oh.
So what we thought that now, we wrote those mantras, we kept it in our book, and we wanted to, what we thought that we will ask Swami, if at all we get a chance, Swami, whether can we really do it even without initiation. That was our idea. So we went and sat. Those were the days when Swami was staying in the main mandir, mandir itself. Evening around 4 o'clock, Swami opened the door. He came straight to both of us. He himself stretched his hand for the book which I was holding it down. I had not even taken it. He said, he asked for that book.
Wow.
He took the book and he opened the book. He took out the paper in which I have written the mantra. He read the mantras. He asked me, are you planning to do Devi Mahatmya Parayanam? He asked
me. Oh my God.
I said, yes, Swami. Happily do it, he said. He closed the book and handed over to me. He took from the other boy also the book in the same way, opened the book, saw the mantra, he kept it and gave it back to him.
It was direct initiation.
Absolutely, absolutely. We could not have asked for more. But the joy with which we did, because thing is, you know, we have to be there for Vedam chanting early in the morning. By 5:20, we have to be there. And after 5:20, by 8 o'clock, we have to be there in Purnachandra Auditorium because Swami will come there. So where is the time for us to do 4 or 5 hours? So morning 1:30, we used to get up every day.
Oh my God.
1:30, we used to get up, finish bath.
You are no less than those pundits, sir.
No, no. But see, Swami has done this for us. This is something. So we wanted to do it with all our vigor. And it was the last day. This is the first time Parayanam. The last day. That day, luckily we had more time. Because that day, Purnahuti happened to be around 9:30 or 10. So, and the Vedam boys are supposed to lead the procession. So there was enough time was there. So that day I thought, after Vedam, I will do the Parayana because time was there. So I was going and sitting in the old host where the Vrindavan boys stay now.
Currently.
Which is just directly opposite to the mandir.
Yes.
And in that balcony, if you sit, it directly faces Swami's Prashanti Nilayam mandir.
Yes.
Especially listeners, they will be able to picturize what I am talking about.
Yes. Cyclone Hall didn't exist.
Cyclone
and if
Hall
you're sitting in
exist.
The old hostel old where Vrindavan boys see, you can
directly from the balcony you can see.
Yes.
So I was I had completed my Parayanam. I was doing the Aparadha Kshama Stotram, and the last line I did, and I just bent down and did namaskar, praying, Swami, please forgive me. See, we are all innocent children, but we love to do something. But I know that there will be shortcomings and everything. The moment I lifted my head, what I saw was amazing. Swami was standing in the balcony.
Wow.
In the mandir. He was looking, nobody else has seen, and Swami and me alone. From there, Swami signed to come. And thank God, I think initially my this thing was instinct toward to jump directly from the terrace and run. But I didn't do that. I ran through the steps and went running there. Of course, Swami was in full smiles. He said, go and get ready. Call all the Vedam boys for the procession. Of course, that is only an incidental, the previous days. But the thing is, no, that last moment and how Swami appears, like this, no, so many times he has given, in fact,
acknowledges.
In fact, Devi Mahatmya Parayanam I had done for so many things. Like, so once in Trayi Vrindavan opening, I got stuck here. Without Swami's permission, we never used to go to Trayi Vrindavan. And how to go? I don't want to miss that golden opportunity. How to send word to Swami? We had no way. So I sat with Devi Mahatmyam and started praying, Swami, please call us. And you know, Swami sent word to Kudumbarao to send both of us for this thing. Trayi Vrindavan.
Oh,
like this, no? He just responds.
This power of these mantras
are amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah, but then we tell the boys every time that this Devi Mahatmya is not going to be used as a means to clear examinations.
But you know, the initial stage, you know, unless they have something like, once they experience, they are convinced, they can use it for higher purpose.
No, that's true.
The initial,
we need always that. Yeah, yeah, of course. Sir always used to tell us that historian is experience how Devi Mahatmya is a sure shot arrow to success. If you really want to achieve something.
Even but if the students don't pray for any specific thing, it still happens.
It still happens. And the very fact that so many boys are coming forward enthusiastically to do means they are getting something out of it.
Yeah, sure. And it's a very demanding thing. They have to get up early in the morning, have bath, come there, sit there for 4-5 hours. Some of them opt to go for Gram Seva, some of them don't. And then based on that, there's a slight modification in what they read. But then there are food restrictions, then you cannot go to the washroom during the Devi Mahatmya Paran 4-5 hours. You have to sit there, and then you have to eat only a certain sattvic kind of food. So it's
Shashank, in today's world, in today's youth scenario, just imagine when they could have happily gone and spent some 5 hours in some clubs.
Even the attention span of 5 hours to do a thing like this in today's times, in the time of Facebook and Twitter.
Let's not forget, this is a foreign language for them. They don't understand Sanskrit. So they're reading Sanskrit for 5 hours without knowing anything, with the sole conviction, which is that they are doing it with a positive approach to welfare of humanity, being a part of this in Swami's direct presence, and being a part of the yajna itself.
To be a part of the yajna.
It's a great motivation for them. But as sir said, in today's times, of course, elsewhere if you say, then they will say that these boys are all gone mad. Orthodox and outdated people.
And this madness also helps.
But ultimately all the students have one thing in mind. They want to please Swami.
Please Swami.
Yes,
that is the greatest.
Just like Swami used to go, and even now does in his own mysterious ways, go any extent for the boys. And I think that this relationship has always existed.
You know, Shashank,
boys
in fact,
go any extent.
When Swami was there, the motivation was that, we have. So I was thinking that in coming years, usually the number will dwindle down.
Yeah.
But I was shocked to hear from you that already 59 boys.
We ourselves are surprised. And there are some boys, our warden usually says that if 1 year you have done Devi Parayana, 1 year you should do Gram Seva. You have both experiences, because some of them are only postgraduate students for 2 years. But they literally fight. That no, they don't want to go for Gram Seva, they want to Devi Mahatmya only. I mean, that is the type of experience they have. It's something very unusual, as sir was saying, to imagine in the current times.
And as Shukma sir was saying, some boys do both.
Yeah, some boys do both, right. That's true.
I mean,
so it's a lot of motivation. And Swami also used to come there and then used to sprinkle, after finishing with the pujaris on stage, who were mainly part of the Rudra Homam, used to come to the Devi Mahatmyam group side, and I used to be sitting there with the boys, because I also did for continuously first 8 years, I used to do every single year.
Wow.
And Swami used to come there and not just sprinkle water, sometimes we used to be bathed in the water of that kalasha. So we will be drenching. After Swami goes, my face, my hair and everything will be dripping. And boy said, brother, what did you do? Did you have a bath on the stage? Swami gave me a bath with the broom, which is the yajnam. What is it called?
Darbha.
The darbha grass.
Yes.
So those are memorable.
I think that was the most looked forward to event in Dasara. At least after I became a student, you wait for the last moment and you try to sit in vantage positions on the last day, so that when Bhagwan sprinkles, it should fall on
you. Those days, Swami used to go outside the Purnachandra auditorium, backside of the Purnachandra auditorium. Everywhere, crowd used to be so much that Swami used to sprinkle on everyone. Because last time I remember, in the physical absence of Swami, they asked some of us to take this water and to go and sprinkle it, because devotees were sitting on the... And I know within 5 minutes, I had severe cramps on my right hand. So just imagine Swami alone used to do this for the whole of humanity.
Yes.
My God.
Yes.
How much of physical strain you would have under. Now only, see, I can feel if a drop doesn't fall on me, I used to feel bad. But imagine Swami has to satisfy so many
thousands who have come, and he used to take that pain.
How much? One and a half hours used to go on.
And sometimes he used to do it in Kulwant Hall, because the people in Purnachandra, Purnachandra auditorium used to be overflowing.
Yes.
So he used to keep this ceremony for the evening.
Even.
And you know, in Kulwant Hall, the size is double of Purnachandra auditorium, so that much longer. I still remember the last time Swami physically did it was in 2002. 2002 Dasara. I was in first year MBA that time. And Swami went around the whole hall, and then he saw that many parts of the hall have not been covered by him. And he went a second time for the whole hall, again sprinkling water on everybody. He took two rounds with that whole vessel being held by the main priest, and he using the darbha grass to sprinkle water. As the sir said,
Swami's life is for others. That's
absolutely.
Absolutely. Total
that was,
sacrifice.
That was
yajnam from his side.
Yes.
In fact, in the 70s, like before we were talking about, I remember in 1978, I had come as a 11-year-old, and one of the highlights of the Purnahuti day was the Vibhuti Abhisheka of Shirdi Baba. After the Purnahuti, the Shirdi Baba statue was to be kept, and I remember seeing this. Kasturi ji used to be holding the vessel, and Swami used to come and just rotate his hand, and the Vibhuti used to just shower on Shirdi Baba.
Yes.
And the very interesting thing is, when Swami used to remove one hand and put the other hand, for those few moments also, actually the Vibhuti will stop.
Would stop.
And again, when Swami...
You've seen the video. It's so fantastic. You've watched it personally.
So
this used to happen for Shivaratri, Dasara and birthday.
Oh.
And once what happened, initially Swami gives with water, he bathed the whole
child.
And what Swami did was, once Swami created, and sometimes he created a chain for Shirdi Baba, something he creates. He created a beautiful big diamond like thing, yeah, and put it on the forehead of Shirdi Baba. At that time, Dr. Bhagavantam, he was the former scientific advisor of the government of India. In his scientific mind, he was thinking, see, the idol is silver, and this is something. This
stone.
It is a just stone. Swami just created leather and kept it, and it stood on his forehead.
Stuck on the
How
forehead.
Is it possible in without any gum? Then he did ask Swami, how was it that it's standing?
A stone got stuck to a metal.
Swami said, if I can create that, I can also make it stick to that.
I just have one more nice incident.
Sure, sir.
Connect this.
Go on, Shiv.
It's not actually connected with Dasara. It was, as I was just mentioning to you, when Swami used to remove his hand, the Vibhuti shower used to just stop.
Yes.
I have witnessed again one more interesting thing, where just Swami did something like this stop. This was in 1989, the 80s,
okay,
where there was no cyclone thal, and students used to be seated in the adjacent to the... it was open at that time.
Yes.
And any time it used to rain, all of us used to just rush and sit very, as close as possible to the interview room.
Yes.
So that students would not get wet in the rain. On one particular day, it started raining and everybody rushed forward. And I was sitting somewhere towards the end in the fringe of that...
the parapet.
Parapet, yeah. There. And Swami came out of the interview room, and Swami was walking in the corner. It was raining, pouring. Swami came near me. He was just smiling at everybody. Swami came near me. I was just seeing Swami, and just very wonderful things happened. Swami just saw towards the skies and uttered stop. The next moment, it just totally stopped raining.
Wow.
Even scientifically, I had been thinking, if the rain had started from the clouds, it must come and fall.
It didn't fall,
it just stopped.
Stop. Oh my God.
And after a few seconds, this was in miracle, possibly for just a few seconds, 5 seconds or so, Swami again started pouring.
Oh my
So
God.
It is just like that.
Swami
used to remove the hand from that vessel, it used to stop, Vibhuti shower used to stop, and put the other hand again, Vibhuti shower used to start.
Wow.
It is just that it's all Swami's mahimas. We have to just enjoy that. It is
Absolutely.
Every moment is just enjoyable.
Yes.
And this Shirdi Baba idol is the one which is in the bhajan hall, right, sir?
Yeah.
It's in the sanctum sanctorum of the Prashanthinilayam.
And I think it was given by Ratan Singh.
Okay.
Wonderful. I think there are so many anecdotes, and probably we will never be done with it, even if we go on for another 1 hour or 2 hours. But I think thank you very much, sir, for going down the memory lane and sharing these precious gems of Dasara celebrations from yesteryears. I know there is a lot more that is locked up in your hearts, and probably we definitely need to meet again. Finally, let me ask you this. Vedant sir, what has been your cherished moment, and what is it that inspires you for every Dasara celebration?
Well,
What is your personal takeaway from this celebration?
One thing is there certain visions what Swami gave me during Dasara time, which I don't think I have shared with anyone. Which is myself, I always look to Swami as mother. And he has all the time he has fulfilled that. There are certain things which is too personal, which during Vijayadashmi day, which he has showed me on the stage, which I have not shared with anyone. That is why I always look forward Dasara. And it is always, mother means I have a real soft corner. I mean, soft corner means that is too much. Swami, always I think of Swami. Or
and he has given you experiences confirming that. So that is what really connects you so much
because
to Dasara.
Because that love is something. And like a mother, he has corrected me in my life and always loving and forgiving and forgiving all the time.
Fantastic. Shivakumar sir, your cherished moments of Dasara, what inspires you?
In fact,
the moment Dasara is mentioned.
This is, it may be a very, very simple one, but this is the amount of interest and the amount of interest that Swami has taken. Because we chant for very long times, I generally take some lavang and keep chewing it so that the chanting becomes very comfortable, throat is soothed. And I keep munching it slowly so that it becomes comfortable. On one part, this must have happened possibly some 5-6 years back. Swami was being wheeled in on the stage and I was chanting on the stage Vedam. When Swami came near me, I could make out that Swami was mumbling something. And very intently I tried to listen what Swami was telling. And Swami was just commenting in Telugu, seeing me. Yemo tintunnadu. Just munching something.
He is munching something.
Small things, because the amount of love that Swami has been showing.
The interest.
I think Dasara for all of us is that the amount of love that Swami has showered on all of us.
Yes.
I think that is something which we can never repay back, and we are totally grateful to Swami for that tremendous amount of love that Swami has showered on us.
Shashank, your views.
Yeah, my views, since both of my teachers have covered Swami's divine aspect and his loving aspect, I think...
Personally, what does Dasara mean to you?
Personally, what I feel from Dasara is, in Prashantalim especially, it's an opportunity which Swami has used to put forth the glory of the rich Indian culture before the students and the devotees. Because coming from a metropolitan city like Bombay, where religion, spirituality and others are something which is
unfashionable
and orthodox for many. There are many genuine devotees and seekers there also, but by and large that's not the case. We would never have the opportunity of seeing the glory of Indian culture, and on such occasions we realize how significant and how exalted our Indian culture is, because there is a science behind the science, there is a logic behind the logic, and there is deep spirituality behind every ritual. And each of this is shown in action, and Swami himself supervised each of these activities and gave students an opportunity to participate in that. And after having participated through experience, they themselves realized the satisfaction and the joy which they derive from this, and thereby they were convinced for life that yes, what Swami has said and what I have done and experienced is definitely true. And with that, they go out as true messengers of this great culture and the Sanskriti, which Swami has always wanted to impart through his university and educational systems. And he's used Dasara as a very, very important tool for that. And of course, I've got opportunity to speak in front of Swami on many occasions. And one point I always used to say, in Dasara, we get to see three things. We get to see karma, we get to see upasana, and we get to see jnana. All three pathways to God we get to see in Prashantinilayam. The karma in the form of gram seva, earlier there used to be Narayan seva, the upasana in the form of the yajnam and the rituals, and the jnana through the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha and the discourses of Swami and by devotees and students. So all the facets of our pathway to God, or pathways to God, are in action, and you can select your pick and then start working on that.
Yes.
And you are sure to reach your goal through that way which you feel is
that,
best.
I think that karma, upasana and jnana is what a sai is. Service, adoration
and illumination.
Beautiful.
Fantastic.
Beautiful.
I think
I think every experience, Swami has very beautifully integrated all this into the curriculum of the students.
Right.
And so by the time boys leave the portals, they get such a beautiful perspective of not only their secular education, but more importantly, the holistic education.
Iha and Para.
Iha and Para. Fantastic. In fact, in 1992, Dasara, when Swami was explaining the inner significance of the festival, Swami said, in this festival, we worship these three goddesses, Durga, Lakshmi, Saraswati. And Swami said, we worship the Devi to attain Ichha Sakti, that is willpower. And Swami says this willpower is so important because it is the source of several other potencies like intellectual power, like discriminating power. You need to develop all these, you need willpower. And Swami says to gain willpower, you have to cultivate vairagya or detachment. And how do you cultivate vairagya? Swami says if one has a habit of taking hard drinks, you know, he should start with giving up some of them, and slowly he will develop the mental power to give up all the other habits. So Swami said, these power to give up the worldly feelings and cultivate godly feelings happens when you do these rituals, when you worship Devi. You the mantras give you with that power to develop willpower. In fact, there are so many concepts which have to be really understood in depth, and Bhagavan has explained in detail in so many Dasara discourses like Satyam and Ritam, and the Prakriti Shakti, Parashakti, Vak Shakti. You have Kaivalyam, Ichha Bhavanam, and I mean the so many deep spiritual concepts. But I remember on one discourse, Swami said, he actually made it very simple. He said, this festival's significance, you have grasped it if you have understood what man should aspire for. That is enough. And what is it that man should aspire for? Swami said, man should aspire for not the temporary and the changing, but the permanent and the unchanging. And that is divinity. And another name of this divinity is Prema.
Pure.
Divine love. Divine love alone is eternal and most fulfilling. All other forms of worldly love that we call Prema, Swami says, are actually only different forms of worldly love which have so many other names like Moham, Anuragam and so on. And Swami gives the example of Tukaram, and he says, this saint prayed to the Lord saying, O Rama, I do not know all this Vedanta, all this knowledge. The only method I know is to love you with a pure heart. Let me have your grace for cherishing this love. This was the prayer of Tukaram, and when I read this, I felt this should be our prayer too. I mean, let us too pray to the Lord that as we carry on in this world and experience whatever is happening outside of us, let us take every opportunity to purify ourselves inside. With every activity, let us clean and clear our inner consciousness so that we can see the reflection of the divine bright and clear and can hear his voice loud and sweet within, and deep inside cherish and relish this love. Let it grow and let it guide us to lighten and brighten not only our lives but the lives of everyone we come in touch with as every single morning of our sojourn on this earth arrives. Because ultimately, if there is one experience that is common destination for all, that is the experience of oneness. Deep inside, we are all one. And we must pray to Bhagwan that we not only know this as an intellectual concept and idea, but feel and experience this as a genuine, real, soulful way of leading our lives. With these prayers, I guess, dear listeners, we will have to conclude this episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. It's almost 9:57 now. It's time to wind up this last leg of our Thursday live broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai. Once again, I thank all three of you, sir, Vednan sir, Shashank and Dr. Shivkumar sir, for being here. And dear listeners, I hope you enjoyed this session. I am Team Radio Sai's Vishu. Please feel free to share your feedback and comments on this program. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. We really look forward to them because we really want to know how to serve you better. So definitely, please do pen your feelings to this program. And as you heard, there is so much to share about this festival. So I don't know, God willing, maybe we'll have one more session. Let's see what God has in plan for us. But for now, for today, it is time to wind up. Thank you so much for being with us till now. And finally, on behalf of all of us at Radio Sai, loving Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam. And even as I sign off, you will continue to listen to a drama in Hindi staged by the youth from Uttar Pradesh and Uttaranchal entitled
Mahasur Devta Ki Mahima, and it was first performed in front of Bhagwan on 26th September 2007. So go ahead, enjoy this drama, happily listening and happy ruminating on His name, His form and His glory. Sai Ram.